Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTaglia along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. And Charlie, we've talked about this for the last couple weeks about cut down day. And despite the fact you get down to the 53, this is not the entire 53 you'll start the season with. Bob and I were talking about this on the show last night and then off the air about it. Hey, listen, if you're on the team next Tuesday, you know you've made the roster. But there is going to be some movement here. And what Deuce brought up, and we've talked about this, 4 to 5 new players on this roster. It would not surprise me. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, man, you feel so elated if you're a young player and you made the 53-man roster and everything else. And, you know, 48 hours, 72 hours later, you get called, you know, coach, hey, listen, we thought this, and we're going to go a little bit different direction. Tomorrow will be the time that will be the announcement for as many as 17 on the practice squad. That'll be announced, and a number of the guys that were cut loose today, I think, will be on the practice squad. But what we're looking at today is not necessarily the 53. We'll be looking at a week from now. A couple surprises for me. One, just because of some injuries, and I didn't know how things would fall at the cornerback position. I thought they might keep 6 to start the season.
Ended with 5.
And it ended up with 5 because, you know, again, we don't know everything about the injury to Kool-Aid McKinstry, Marshawn Lattimore. So I guess that's a good sign on that part. I thought Ugo Amadi might be able to stretch himself into that 6th spot, but he didn't. Now, remember last year at this time, they cut Jonathan Abram, which they did again, and then brought him back a number of times. In fact, they maximized the amount of times they could bring him back onto the team, off the practice squad, back on the practice squad. Every draft choice made the team but one. Josiah Isram, final pick in the draft, didn't make it. I'm surprised Jalen Ford did, because he had been fighting hamstring injuries. Not one, but 2 hamstring injuries. He did make the final 53. Again, we'll see how far that goes with Ford on there. And it six receivers. I don't think a lot of people had six on the card, and the final two being Mason Tipton and Bub Means.
Yeah, an interesting six, and also talking about the linebackers, same thing there. A couple guys on there dealing with injuries with DeMarco Jackson and then obviously the rookie Jalen Ford. Six receivers, and I guess we can start with kind of detailing the cuts first and foremost, Mike, and then we'll kind of get into the early 53-man roster, which, as you said, is not going to be the same by the time we're talking about this next Tuesday. But there's an interesting kind of, FranSided has a great article on this, the difference between getting waived and released in the NFL, because people will be like, oh, you know, what's the difference there? When a veteran is released, the player's contract is effectively terminated, and they immediately enter free agency, so they become open to anyone. But as far as players with less than four seasons accrued, they're subject to the waiver system, which allows every other team an opportunity to claim their contract. So talking about the players that were released, they were all veterans. Jonathan Abram, as you mentioned, Ugo Amadi, the two safeties, Tremaine Ingram Jr., the guard, fifth-year player out of Clemson, Jesse Davis, a veteran tackle out of Idaho, Andrew Dowell, who came back, you know, a special teamer, a veteran player out of Michigan State, the linebacker. Same thing with Kalik Hudson, who the Saints signed in the offseason. Both those players were released. Shane Lemieux, the guard slash center. Stanley Morgan Jr., James Robinson, the running back, Equanimeous St. Brown, the receiver, Rod Teamer, the safety, and Jawan Williams, the cornerback, who had a very short stay with the Black and Gold. And then the 20 players were waived, Mike. So these are all the younger guys, Kevin Austin Jr., the wide receiver, Miller Bradford, the safety, Shaq Davis, receiver, Mark Evans, offensive lineman, Josiah Isserim, as you mentioned, the seventh-round offensive tackle from Eastern Kentucky, Mason Fairchild, a tight end, Lou Headley, the punter, which was probably the bigger surprise. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, you guys did, that you don't know if the punter was going to be on the roster. Apparently, Matt Hable has currently run that starting job.
We shall see.
But we will see, exactly. Defensive tackle, Jack Heflin, Kyle Hergel, the offensive guard. I texted you about that one, Mike, undrafted free agent, one of our favorite interviews. I was really hoping he would make the team.
I think he'll be a returnee.
He should be a guy that lands on the practice squad, but we'll have to see because he's currently on the waiver system, so any team can go try and snag him. Michael Jacobson, the tight end, was now waived as well. Shamar John Charles, the defensive back. Lawrence Johnson, the safety. Jacob Cabote, the running back, my raging Cajun. Nico Lalo's defensive end. Mac McCain, the cornerback. Samson Nakua, the receiver. Monty Rice, linebacker, Mike Rose, linebacker, Charlie Smith, the kicker, but we talked about the International Pathway Program. He's clearly got a spot, which would actually extend the practice squad to 16 players, or 17 players with the Saints. He would occupy that 17th spot if he makes it to the practice squad. And then Isaiah Stallbird, the linebacker, and that kind of covers all the 20 players that got waived. And then four players placed on injured reserve, as I mentioned in the Sports Slash, Kendra Miller, Cameron Peterson, the defensive tackle, Kevin Rader, the tight end, and Rajon Wright, the cornerback. Mike, any kind of names that stand out there?
There's probably three or four there that, you know, Shamir John Charles was a guy that was running with the ones at corner, and he gets cut loose. I didn't think they'd cut loose Rico Payton. Bob and I, we sort of differed a little bit on that. I just felt as though a young corner. And he didn't get off to a great start in training camp. And he really picked up the pace. And he's one of four undrafted free agents to make this team. When you think about it, Matt Hayball, the punter, Rico Payton, Mason Tipton, Dallin Hoker, all made the team, undrafted free agents. I know we're going to get people asking about it. Kendra Miller, he was put on injured reserve with the designation that he could return later. And so you understand there, he's missed basically the entire training camp
and
period.
He's going to miss the first 4 weeks
and
of the season.
And he's going to miss the first 4 weeks.
We'll have to see.
And if he can come back from that. Isaiah Foskey, because I know we get texts about that. Isaiah Foskey did make the 53-man roster.
So I want to go back to the wide receiver discussion, Mike, because I think it's interesting. Six receivers picked up, obviously Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Cedric Wilson. Those were all locked in stone. I mean, just based off of what especially DA said about Cedric Wilson entering the final preseason game, about his veteran leadership and, you know, his run blocking, all these kind of intangibles that he could bring to the wide receiver room, but also A.T. Perry, Bub Means, and Mason Tipton. A.T. Perry was probably a lock, too.
Yeah.
But Bub Means and Mason Tipton, Mike. And Mason Tipton is someone that
play
we haven't
at
seen at all. And so it kind of is reminiscent, maybe a little bit of Rashid Shaheed, that they kind of hit him, maybe. I know he was dealing with an injury. Obviously, a speedster, so that's a really interesting
one.
Well,
they really hit Rashid because we didn't even see him in practice. that year. He was coming off a knee injury. We didn't even see him in practice. At least with Tipton, we got a glimpse of him in the OTA sessions and then certainly some of the practice sessions out in California. With Bub, you see potential there of a guy that has a chance one day. He's got to learn how to run better routes and become a better downfield blocker. That is the kind of negative with him, and he's got to learn the game a little bit more, but he's got a lot of talent. When we return here, it's Tulane Tuesdays, and we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall, will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelli along with Charlie Long in studio. Today is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. On our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and I know you can't wait for Thursday night. It's cranked it up, babe.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, we're fired up. We're tired of hitting each other. We're ready to go play somebody else. And this Thursday night's going to be a fun opportunity for our guys to go cut it loose and put all this hard work, put it out there on the field.
Coach, right off the bat, to ask you, from a health standpoint, how are you looking right now?
Yeah, we've got a couple guys that are going to be some game time decisions. Not terrible number. I mean, two or three. Other than the long term, we got three or four guys that are long term injuries that haven't happened in training camp, but a couple of them happened there in spring ball. But in regards to training camp, we've got maybe three guys that are sort of questionable, if you will. I think one of them's trending positive, the other two are kind of holding as questionable. But, well, you know, it's a physical game, the wear and tear. You're never 100%. You know, my college trainer, he asked me when I was a freshman, he said, "Hey, do you feel like you're 100%? I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Remember this, because you're never going to feel this way ever again." And so in our world, you're never fully 100% once the banging starts in training camp. And we got bumps and bruises, but all in all, I'm fairly happy with how healthy we are.
Coach, about 10 days ago, you were on with us, and you were point blank about it. Listen, I wouldn't be hesitant to play the redshirt freshman quarterback. If Hebert was here, he would say, "Mike, listen, nothing else compares to the quarterback position. That's number one, 1A, 1B, 1C." And that has sort of played out in some of your workouts and everything with Darian Mensah having the first team duties. But you've also mentioned to me that you felt as though that you wouldn't be hesitant to play the other guys if need be also.
Yeah, you know, I think as you go through it, all we have to evaluate is practice so far. And, you know, the beautiful thing in the NFL is they get preseason games, right? And
Yeah. They
get to throw guys in preseason games and let them see kind of how they perform under the lights against another team. But we don't get that luxury. We get four non-conference games, and we open the season with four straight non-conference games, which I kind of like, because they all go on a permanent record for us. We don't get the preseason, like I said. But our number one objective and goal is win our conference championship. And so these first couple games, do we want to win them? Hell yeah, we want to win them. But it's also a time to experiment and kind of see maybe a couple of different packages, a couple of different guys in the game, and kind of see how they respond. And we're not going to probably roll guys through as much as you would in an NFL preseason game. But I could see a scenario where you could see three quarterbacks play. I mean, somebody's going to start the game. And we got a couple of things we feel good about with each guy. And really the biggest thing with the youngster, with the Mensah kid, is he is just continually, with every opportunity we've given him, he's shown up. And he's made the people around him play at a high level. He's played at a high level. He's kind of been a force multiplier, where the guys that line up next to him play a little better when he's in it, seems like. And so he's elevated a lot. The other guys have done some good things. I mean, Kai Horton probably had his best week of practice this past week, honestly. And so they've all given us reasons for optimism. There's, you know, nobody that's really earned maybe being the guy or said, "Hey, I'm the long-term guy" yet. But we've got a healthy room there. And the biggest thing is just keeping those guys ready for when their moments come, because I think at some point this year we made each one of them to win a game or two here and there.
Coach, I know the guy that you're going against, and I always ask him this just to get confirmation, but Coach Selfo, you know, he's always a multi-quarterback guy. And he's told me that, "Mike, ever since I've been a coach, I love to play multiple quarterbacks." He says, you know, because if your starter goes down and the other guy don't have no experience, you know, it's like trying to row a boat and you don't have no paddle. You just sort of drifting out there. And so from a defensive standpoint, understanding that you may play multiple quarterbacks, but you got to go up against a team that you know will play multiple quarterbacks.
Yeah, I got asked this question earlier today, post-practice, was, you know, it sounds like they might play three, we might play three. You know, you see six quarterbacks in a college game, that's not the norm. But, yeah, I got a lot of respect for Frank. He's a really good football coach. Offensively, man, I'm very impressed with what they do schematically. And he identifies very well what each quarterback does well and kind of caters to their strengths. And they've got a really good plan offensively. I've been very impressed with what they do schematically. And Frank Sharp, he's a really good coach. And they're going to present some challenges for us Thursday night. I mean, what they put on tape already from last year will give you some issues. And I'm sure they're going to have some things that we haven't seen on video that we have to be ready to adapt to and adjust to during the game. But I think he's on to something there in some regard of, you know, it's nice to have at least a couple guys that can go in the game if need be, because you lose a guy, you need to have the next guy ready.
Coach, one of the guys that you brought up numerous times on, and I think that has kind of played out, has been Dante Fleming. I saw Dante when he was at East St. John. I still live on the bayou, so I get to see him. You know, he's a River Parish guy, and he has really, really progressed well for your football team.
Dante has had arguably the best offseason of anybody on our team. He's worked incredibly hard. You know, it's amazing how when a guy works really hard, he gets great results, you know. I mean, and Dante, I think he's got an opportunity to have a big year. I really do. He runs great routes. He's got really good speed. You know, he's a little bit longer than you realize. His catch radius is a touch bigger than you probably recognize at first. But man, I go back and, you know, when our guys had the month of May off, I felt like every time I was walking around the building, Dante, I'm like, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm just getting some extra work in. He's worked his butt off, and he couldn't be more proud of the kid. You know, last year didn't have maybe the year he wanted to, but he's a prime example of just sticking with it and believing in yourself and not giving up. And I think really big things are ahead of this year for Dante, and it's because he's put the work in. So I couldn't be more proud to see what he's done. He probably had the best training camp out of anybody on our entire team, and I'm fired up to see what he does this season.
Coach, staying on the offensive side of the ball, I wanted to bring up, obviously, Mekhi Hughes, who just seems like he was such a bell cow for the Green Wave offense last year, going over 1,300 yards. And we talked with Gary Smith, who covers Tulane for the Times-Picayune the other week about this, and he had the article that, you know, Mekhi Hughes wants to go over 1,500 yards. And it reminded me of your time at Troy, Kamani Vidal, who had a great, basically back-to-back great seasons, but last year, his senior year, 1,582 yards. I mean, with your offense and what you kind of want to do with this Green Wave team, is how big of a season is someone like Mekhi Hughes, who's already been there, done that, how big of a season is he in store for?
Yeah, I think he's got an opportunity to have a great year. You know, I'm a firm believer that you can throw to score, but, man, you got to run to win. Like, if you want to be able to beat anybody – anywhere, anytime, you got to be able to run the football. And we're committed to running the football. You know, I mean, and the way Kamani did it at Troy for us, he really wore people down. And he really wasn't much – him and Mekhi have some similarities in regards to their running style. Mekhi's maybe a touch bigger, not a lot, but a little. They're similar speed. But I think the physicality they both play the game with, they both have a little bit of a battering ram mindset. And you know, with our experience at quarterback, I've told those guys, hey, you've got really good pieces around you. We've got a great runner in the backfield with Mekhi. We've got an offensive line that's got great experience, and not all of it's been at Tulane, but it's a very experienced group that's played at various places. And so we're going to lean on those guys to let our quarterback kind of find his stride, get in rhythm, not put the quarterback under all the pressure in the world. I mean, the quarterback's best friend is a great O-line, a great running back. And so that opens up the throw game for you a lot better. But Mekhi will definitely be a workhorse. If our offense is not sure what to do, I'll have no problem reminding them to turn around and hand the ball off to him and let him go to work.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, Coach, I wanted to bring up another Sun Belt guy. I mean, you can probably tell I'm a Sun Belt person myself. I'm a former UL Raging Cajun, so I followed it pretty closely.
Don't hold that against him.
You know, Coach, I got to say, hey. Troy was pretty tough the last couple of years, so I know exactly what you're bringing to the Green Wave. And Aiden Huntington, you know, from UL Monroe, what have you kind of seen from him? He had that breakout year last year with the Warhawks, 8.5 sacks on the defensive line. And I just want to get your thoughts on how he's looked both at camp and heading into the season.
Hey, you know, Aiden's about 285 pounds. He's not the tallest guy. He's probably about 6'1". He reminds me of a hybrid of two players I've coached, both of which are on NFL rosters right now. Josh Pascal, who plays for the Detroit Lions, who I had at Kentucky, is one of them. The other is Javon Solomon, who he had at Troy. Javon led all of college football in sacks last year. But Aiden's got – power, explosiveness, twitch. He plays with violence. You know, we got ready to play them last year at Monroe towards the end of the season. And I watched tape, and I told my offensive staff, I said, hey, do whatever you want. Don't let that guy wreck our game. Because he was the guy that, I mean, he stood out. He looked different. I thought he was the second best D lineman in our league last year behind Javon, to be quite honest. And so when he decided to go in the portal, it kind of got down to us in Oklahoma. And we were fortunate to come on the right side of that recruiting battle. And he's a really good player. I think his best football is in front of him. I think he's really played with athleticism and just instinct, but I think his level of detail in regards to technique, fundamentals, and developing to become a next-level player has improved since showing up in June, and I think he's only going to get better and better. And, you know, the nice thing is we already have Pat Jenkins at one end in our 3-4, and now you put Aiden to the other end, and it's like, all right, those tackles are going to have some issues to deal with. And so we need to cut those guys loose and keep it simple enough they go play fast and affect the quarterback and be disruptive and create negative plays versus a run.
They also can open up some lanes for your linebackers to just jet through and make a play. Because you're so worried about blocking Jenkins, you're so worried about blocking Aiden, that sometimes that linebacker gets through untouched.
There's no doubt. Those guys up front can make a linebacker's job really easy. And sometimes, you know, if you want to run some pin-pull plays or some pet plays where maybe the O-linemen don't honor the D-line enough, those D-linemen wreck shop. And then if you really want to hang on your blocks from the down guys, those linebackers get a chance to run free a little bit more. So those guys, those second-level players in our defense are fortunate to play behind a pretty good front, who I think is going to create some opportunity for those guys to go run and make plays.
Throughout the years, Coach, I know people have brought up, especially early in the season, though it happens all the time, that early on the communication sometimes isn't as good as you'd like it in the secondary. And so you see a lot of crossing routes, okay? I got him to a certain extent, then you got him. I was supposed to guard him, and then you break free. I think early on in the season, you see teams sort of attack that a lot, especially with a team with young corners. Because that communication, people don't get it. Maybe you can explain that the communication route there between your corners and safeties when you see a team who runs a lot of crossing routes.
Yeah, it's a great question. We do the same thing offensively to create those issues.
Yeah, right.
And defensive. I mean, that's a big part of our offense is running some climb routes, some over routes, some routes that cross the ball. And really the important thing there, like you said, the pre-snap communication, if you do that part right, it makes the post-snap a whole lot easier. It's no different than if you start fast, it's easier to finish strong. Well, if you get the pre-snap right, and that's alerting a split or a spacing, like most of the times I could tell you what the route combination could be off of the alignment of the receivers. Well, if you look at that, you take the pre-snap picture and you communicate properly across the secondary and linebacker, it makes passing those things off or matching them if we need to match them depending on the route combination and the coverage called. It makes executing the pattern match a lot easier. And so that's something we drill a lot. That's something that I think you do see early in the year. It's making sure guys are all on the same page. You know, most football games are lost, not won. And the most important team to not beat is don't beat yourself. Like, just if you don't beat yourself by giving up explosive plays in the pass game where you cut guys free, you make them earn it. That gives you a chance to have success.
Coach, one of the things, this is football, it's a physical sport, and you're going to take some hits and some injuries. And this was, I think, right after the national championship year, Coach O had asked me, he said, listen, you got some free time. He said, do a deal on which spots, position-wise, have the most injuries in college pro football. And it was no question. Offensive line, tackles, guards, they sort of dominated the spot in both the NFL and in college football. Your thoughts on that? Because you could say, well, you know, he's my sixth man or maybe my seventh man, but due to injuries, he's got to play. So your thoughts on who would be first guy coming off the bench if you lost one of your tackles or your guard?
Yeah, inside at center guard, Caleb Thomas. We're very fortunate to have him on our roster. He's played over 1,000 snaps collegiately. He'd be the first guy in the game at center or guard, and we actually already have a plan for him to rotate in the game plan going in. You know, so he's going to play snaps in the game Thursday night, either way, healthy or whatever. He's playing some, and so he's played a lot of football, and we have a luxury there to have a guy that's played center and guard at this level with that many snaps. So he'll be the first guy inside. Landry Cannon could also be a very viable option inside at guard. Has not played as much center, where CT has played center and guard. And then at right tackle would be Darion Reed. At left tackle would be Reese Baker. We got a freshman, Reese Baker, who from my hometown in Alabama. He was a highly recruited kid, had an Auburn offer early, who I think's got a really bright future at tackle. And he's with us. So he's a backup at left. Youngster, but a really way ahead of the learning curve in regards to understanding how to play the game. So those are our first guys in the game. CT, Caleb Thomas inside with Landry Cannon, who's from Destrehan, kind of the next guy at guard after that. And then at right tackle, like I said, Darion Reed, and left tackle, Reese Baker.
Coach, before we let you run, you kind of mentioned the freshman, and that's a question that I have for you, because in the modern day, a lot of the times if you're not getting playing time as young players, some guys will hop into the portal. And so my question to you is, I mean, what kind of freshmen have kind of stood out at camp so far to you that could get early playing time with the Green Wave?
Yeah, I'd say right out of the gate, Javion White and Jaden Lewis at Spear Nickel are going to see time. Sean Nicholas at wide receiver, he's from West Jeff High School. He's actually a young man that was committed to us at Troy when I took the job here. We brought him here. So those guys will play. Jamari McClure, running back, is likely to play and play significant time as the year goes. Mentioned Reese Baker at left tackle will play. Other guys could play, but those are really the top candidates, I think, to play a lot of meaningful snaps as we enter game one.
Coach, thanks so much for sparing some time with us this afternoon. Man, I know game day is right around the corner. Appreciate it and wish you best of luck.
Appreciate you guys. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Roll Wave.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. That was Tulane head football coach John Sumrall. Tulane Tuesday was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. When we come back, talking a lot more about some of the Saints cuts that happened today and possible signees for the practice squad starting tomorrow, right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long in studio. And Charlie made the move at the punting position with Matt Hayball. They decided to keep him for now, and we'll see if they take a look around or they decide to continue to go with Matt. I thought with him, watching him all those years at Vanderbilt, he was a good player. But every time he hit the ball, it almost was like he was trying to punt the air out of it. I mean, he was trying to get as much distance as he could, and I get it. Man, Vanderbilt wasn't very good. And he got pretty good hang time. Every once in a while, though, you kind of saw he would out-kick his coverage on that. You didn't have to worry about that with Headley. Last year, you know, he did a lot of Australian-style kicks, and he got a little bit better just pumping it up, and they really got no return out of it. But I think here, this was the call of Darren Rizzi, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Now, eventually at the end, okay, it comes down to the head coach to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But he's leaning on Darren Rizzi to tell him what to do here at that punting position. And so Matt Hayball, who, and you can tell, man, he knows how to pop it. And he gets good height and he gets distance. The only thing with that is sometimes, and I think that's coachable, that you can kind of curb that a little bit, that you're not trying to outkick your coverage. And I know he's not trying to do it, but because of the way he hits the ball, he's going to hit some shots that's over 50. But what you don't want is a 13-yard return.
He was inconsistent throughout the preseason, Mike, which is why we'll keep saying this is their punter for now. He's one of the four undrafted free agents that's made the original initial 53-man roster. But as far as, you know, Matt Hable, you could see him potentially being the guy because there's stuff there. Lou Headley was just bad this preseason, Mike.
He had his opportunities and didn't do it.
And yeah, I mean, they gave him plenty of reps throughout the preseason process.
And they showed that 54-yard field goal, who was holding for Groupie?
He just wasn't performing.
It was Matt Hable.
Headley was not performing.
No,
so
he wasn't.
It made sense to move on from him. As far as Hable goes, we'll have to see what happens there. Staying with the special teams unit, Mike, because I guess we'll just focus on that here. Blake Groupie, obviously winning the kicking job. He went 5 of 5 on field goal attempts in the preseason and 5 of 5 of extra points.
Charlie Smith's going to kick in this league.
Charlie Smith is
going to kick in this
league. So, as we mentioned earlier on the hour, that international pathway or player pathway program, right? It designates an extra spot that you can use on your practice squad for someone, you know, in the international pathway player program. Charlie Smith, obviously being Irish, coming from Gaelic football, like, he fits the bill perfectly. If he passes through waivers, he's going to be on the practice squad. That is the most obvious, and we'll talk a little bit about the practice squad as the show goes along and what players we expect, you know, if they pass waivers to be on the Saints practice squad. Charlie Smith is the most obvious one, Mike, at least for me, that he'll be on the Saints practice squad, even though that Blake Groupie technically won the job. Because, as you mentioned, he's got a future in this league as a kicker. He's just got an incredible leg. He's just a little bit raw. He's got a little bit to refine.
And there's some inconsistent moments
with
him.
But he's brand new to American football. It's to be expected.
We talked to him, and he was like, you know, a year ago, okay, I would have thought I was going to be in this position.
Yeah.
And yet, man, you can see he's got the leg, a lot of confidence, very self-confident. And you have to be that way as a kicker. You can't, man, I missed the kick and dwell on it. No, he knows how to turn the page. It's just like if you're a quarterback and you throw an interception, you got to turn the page and move on with it. He has that type mentality that one bad kick is not going to affect him for the next kick.
Jeff Nowak made a great point about this, Mike, that you could see next year's kicking battle being intense between those two. It already was pretty intense this year. If he's still here. And if he stays in New Orleans, then it's a great sign for the Saints for next year. But right now, Blake Groupie, they went with the veteran guy there. I think that both guys obviously had their pluses throughout the preseason process, throughout the training camp as well. That was a battle that we were keeping an eye on. Obviously, Blake Groupie ended up winning it, but you're really, really hoping you can keep Charlie Smith around. So
the one guy that made the big move the last couple weeks, and we saw it in the final preseason game, was your boy, University of Louisiana, Jacob Cabote.
What do you think, Mike? You think he's going to be on the practice squad?
Yeah, I think he'll be on the practice squad. I saw him. He was at Christian Life Academy. Then he goes to A&M, Texas A&M, and that HN guy was pretty good over there. So he decides, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else. And he goes to Incarnate Word. But he goes there in 2020, the COVID year, and the season gets canceled for Incarnate Word. So he leaves there to go to University of Louisiana. And he had a lot of injuries early on. His final season, you know, he rushed for over 700 yards, almost 6 yards a carry, 5.7. And they didn't really throw the football a lot out in the from the backfield. But I think he caught 9 passes as a senior. But what I liked in him is his lower body power. He keeps his head up, eyes looking forward. A lot of times runners, you know, when they get hit, the eyes go down. Watch him. When he gets hit, his eyes and head are up, and he's plowing through to get extra yardage. He's got to work a little bit, certainly, as a receiver, run a little better routes, and to become a better pass protector. Charlie, if he can stay healthy, you see the power kind of speed combination, because I think he's more fast than he is quick.
But another thing that, and Deuce mentioned this as well on the broadcast, him and Mike, you know, watching the game on Sunday, the patience of Cabote. Kind of let the blocks get in front of him, and then he found those little holes. He's a patient runner. So, and that's something that you saw at UL as well. When he went for over 700 yards this past year, he was Mr. Consistent, and he had some good offensive line in front of him with the Raging Cajuns, don't get me wrong, but he was patient. He let his blocks develop, and then you would see that speed from him, like you're talking about the power. And so Jacob Cabote's an interesting one. He's a good developmental back. You hope that he can make it to the practice squad as well, Mike, because right now, we haven't even mentioned this. The running backs that they're carrying 5 running backs slash the fullback with Adam Prentice, and that's including Taysom Hill as a running back slash fullback.
Now, you don't want Taysom being a lead blocker all the time. Man, That's a dirty job.
So you got Adam Prentice to do
You got
dirty
Tatum
work.
To do a lot of that. Man, listen, to become a lead blocker, because you need Taysom so many different ways, at halfback, at the H-back, at wide receiver. He's still going to run that power quarterback run. Man, you don't want him being a lead blocker. Man, Adam Prentice and a fullback in this league, you talk about guys that get beat up, they get beat up.
But the three backs that made the initial roster, running backs, obviously Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, and Jordan Mims, the guy that we've been talking about for months at this point.
And they may have that, somebody else.
You know, kind of snagged their eye, right? Just snagged Bobby's eye, at least during OTAs, and he talked about him a bunch and how he was really excited to watch him play throughout the preseason. He was solid. And so, no, he makes it. But as you mentioned, and as we've said multiple times already, this is the initial 53-man roster. We'll see how it changes.
One thing with Jordan, and I watch with him, is he catches the ball so clean coming out of the backfield. Also, he's a good pass protector. You know, he picks that guy up, and most blitzes today, they not always coming from the edge. They coming from inside. Man, you better pick that up, or you're going to get your quarterback mowed down. And I thought he did a good job with that, and he's a solid inside runner. He's got just enough wiggle and speed to maybe make a big play out in the edge. Don't be surprised they bring in another running back.
I would not at all.
We'll be back and finish it up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And Charlie made the move at the punting position with Matt Haball. They decided to keep him for now, and we'll see if they take a look around or they decide to continue to go with Matt. I thought with him, watching him all those years at Vanderbilt, he was a good player. But every time he hit the ball, it almost was like he was trying to punt the air out of it. I mean, he was trying to get as much distance as he could, and I get it. Man, Vanderbilt wasn't very good. And he got pretty good hang time. Every once in a while, though, you kind of saw he would outkick his coverage. On that, you didn't have to worry about that with Headley. Last year, you know, he did a lot of Australian style kicks, and he got a little bit better just pumping it up, and they really got no return out of it. But I think here, this was the call of Darren Rizzi. Okay, now eventually at the end, okay, it comes down to the head coach to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But he's leaning on Darren Rizzi to tell him what to do here at that punting position. And so Matt Haball, who, and you can tell, man, he knows how to pop it. And he gets good height, and he gets distance. The only thing with that is sometimes, and I think that's coachable, that you can kind of curb that a little bit, that you're not trying to outkick your coverage. And I know he's not trying to do it, but because of the way he hits the ball, he's going to hit some shots that's over 50. But what you don't want is a 13-yard return.
He was inconsistent throughout the preseason, Mike, which is why we'll keep saying this is their punter for now. He's one of the four undrafted free agents that's made the original initial 53-man roster. But as far as, you know, Matt Haball, you could see him potentially being the guy because there's stuff there. Lou Headley was just bad this preseason, Mike.
He had his opportunities and didn't do it.
And, yeah, I mean, they gave him plenty of reps throughout the preseason process.
They showed that 54-yard field goal, who was holding for Groupie?
He just wasn't performing.
It was Matt Haball.
Headley was not performing.
No,
so
he wasn't.
It made sense to move on from him. As far as Haball goes, we'll have to see what happens there. Staying with the special teams unit, Mike, because I guess we'll just focus on that here. Blake Groupie, obviously winning the kicking job. He went 5 of 5 on field goal attempts in the preseason and 5 of 5 of extra points.
Charlie Smith's going to kick in this league.
Charlie Smith is
going to kick in this
so,
league.
So, as we mentioned earlier on the hour, that international pathway or player pathway program, right? It designates an extra spot that you can use on your practice squad for someone, you know, in the international pathway player program. Charlie Smith, obviously being Irish, coming from Gaelic football, like, he fits the bill perfectly. If he passes through waivers, he's going to be on the practice squad. That is the most obvious, and we'll talk a little bit about the practice squad as the show goes along and what players we expect, you know, if they pass waivers to be on the Saints practice squad. Charlie Smith is the most obvious one, Mike, at least for me, that he'll be on the Saints practice squad, even though that Blake Groupie technically won the job. Because, as you mentioned, he's got a future in this league as a kicker. He's just got an incredible leg. He's just a little bit raw. He's got a little bit to refine.
And there's some inconsistent moments with him.
But he's brand new to American football. It's to be expected.
We talked to him, and he was like, you know, a year ago, okay, I would have thought I was going to be in this position.
Yeah.
And yet, man, you can see he's got the leg, a lot of confidence, very self-confident. And you have to be that way as a kicker. You can't, man, I missed the kick and dwell on it. No, he knows how to turn the page. It's just like if you're a quarterback and you throw an interception, you got to turn the page and move on with it. He has that type mentality that one bad kick is not going to affect him for the next kick.
Jeff Nowak made a great point about this, Mike, that you could see next year's kicking battle being intense between those two. It already was pretty intense this year. If he's still here. And if he stays in New Orleans, then it's a great sign for the Saints for next year. But right now, Blake Groupe, they went with the veteran guy there. I think that both guys obviously had their pluses throughout the preseason process, throughout the training camp as well. That was a battle that we were keeping an eye on. Obviously, Blake Groupe ended up winning it, but you're really, really hoping you can keep Charlie Smith around. So
the one guy that made the big move the last couple of weeks, and we saw it in the final preseason game, was your boy, University of Louisiana, Jacob Cabote.
What do you think, Mike? You think he's going to be on the practice squad?
Yeah, I think he'll be on the practice squad. I saw him. He was at Christian Life Academy. Then he goes to A&M, Texas A&M, and that HN guy was pretty good over there. So he decides, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else. And he goes to Incarnate Word. But he goes there in 2020, the COVID year, and the season gets canceled for Incarnate Word. So he leaves there to go to University of Louisiana. And he had a lot of injuries early on. His final season, you know, he rushed for over 700 yards, almost 6 yards a carry, 5.7. And they didn't really throw the football a lot out in the from the backfield. But I think he caught 9 passes as a senior. But what I liked in him is his lower body power. He keeps his head up, eyes looking forward. A lot of times runners, you know, when they get hit, the eyes go down. Watch him. When he gets hit, his eyes and head are up, and he's plowing through to get extra yardage. He's got to work a little bit, certainly, as a receiver, run a little better routes, and to become a better pass protector. Charlie, if he can stay healthy, you see the power kind of speed combination, because I think he's more fast than he is quick.
But another thing that Deuce mentioned this as well on the broadcast, him and Mike, you know, watching the game on Sunday, the patience of Cabote. Kind of let the blocks get in front of him, and then he found those little holes. He's a patient runner. So, and that's something that you saw at UL as well. When he went for over 700 yards this past year, he was Mr. Consistent, and he had some good offensive line in front of him with the Raging Cajuns, don't get me wrong, but he was patient. He let his blocks develop, and then you would see that speed from him, like you're talking about, the power. And so Jacob Cabote's an interesting one. He's a good developmental back. You hope that he can make it to the practice squad as well, Mike, because right now, we haven't even mentioned this. The running backs that they're carrying 5 running backs slash the fullback with Adam Prentice, and that's including Taysom Hill as a running back slash fullback.
Now, you don't want Taysom being a lead blocker all the time. Man, that's a dirty job.
So you got Adam Prentice to do
You got Adam to do a lot of that. Man, listen, to become a lead blocker, because you need Taysom so many different ways, at halfback, at the H-back, at wide receiver. He's still going to run that power quarterback run. Man, you don't want him being a lead blocker. Man, Adam Prentice and a fullback in this league, you talk about guys that get beat up, they get beat up.
But the 3 backs that made the initial roster, running backs, obviously Alvin Kamara, Jamal Williams, and Jordan Mims, the guy that we've been talking about for months at this point.
And they may have somebody else.
You know, kind of snagged their eye, right? Just snagged Bobby's eye, at least during OTAs, and he talked about him a bunch and how he was really excited to watch him play throughout the preseason. He was solid. And so, no, he makes it. But as you mentioned, and as we've said multiple times already, this is the initial 53-man roster. We'll see how it changes.
One thing with Jordan, and I watch with him, is he catches the ball so clean coming out of the backfield. Also, he's a good pass protector. You know, he picks that guy up, and most blitzes today, they not always coming from the edge. They coming from inside. Man, you better pick that up, or you're going to get your quarterback mowed down. And I thought he did a good job with that, and he's a solid inside runner. He's got just enough wiggle and speed to maybe make a big play out in the edge. Don't be surprised they bring in another running back.
I would not at all.
We'll be back and finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike, to tell you along with Charlie Long, I want to thank Tulane head football coach John Sumrall for joining us over 20 minutes. And we certainly have a lot more Saints talk to get to at 5:20. Les East will join us, longtime reporter for the Saints, also college and prep football, will join us. And we'll talk a lot more about the Saints cuts, what else could happen down the road. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.